When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington, and we are going to floor 35 of Wackner's Mad. Okay, I'm at the end of a very long, very twisty passage. Or perhaps several very long, twisty passages. You can't really tell because I'm very near the northwest corner, and all I can see is three strands of dungeony spaghetti. But I guess in the actual northwest corner there was a question mark. Oh, and here's the description of this level. Wisps of white fog drift along the gloomy passages of this maze level. Exploration status: no wandering foes remain. Perhaps they will be unleashed later. Right, question mark in the northwest corner. You're standing on a broad landing at the top of a long, sloping length of corridor. From there, the passage slopes steeply downwards to the east, swiftly passing out of sight as it plunges into the deep gloom at the edge of your light. The floor of the sloping passage is covered with a thin sheen of frost. It looks to be dangerously slippery. You come to the realization that to continue along the corridor from this point, you will need to slide. Alright. Could my various toady oozes make me sticky enough to stay? Well, maybe, but the game doesn't know that Sir Croakington is a toad, so we've got to slide. And I'm going to assume Wackner planned for that. And he just said, this is a slidey time. No using your crampons. No using your ice. No using your snow shoes. No having a fire elemental walk alongside you and thus consistently melt the frost so it's just, a normal terrain. None of that nonsense. This is the sliding floor. Because I just thought you'd really like a floor where you just get to have a nice little slide. You know, after all that. What was it on the previous floor? What was the previous floor? I'm going to have a look and check. Step onto the great slab. Let's see. I could just, look at the previous episode, but 30th floor. Yeah, previous floor. Yeah, after that was the one where you fought the big plant. And you also met Narsalis Nar, who's apparently explorer of the mad, but not my mad. Alright, so it's a different world? How different? We don't really know. I think it's a parallel universe sort of thing, but how long ago they diverged, we don't know. It could be something incredibly, incredibly similar. It could have been that they diverged only a couple of months ago. It's just that in this world, in our world, someone bought 2 apples, but in their world they bought 3, and that split the dimensions. I mean, presumably if dimensions split all the time, they're sometimes going to split over absolutely trivial things that actually don't turn out to be super important. And the worlds just drift apart a little bit because, you know, natural chaosiness. There's no... So it's not like this guy... Oh, this person got out of bed 10 minutes later and... Oop! Nazi victory! Somehow, because... I mean, that is how it works. About it turns out 90% of time travel changes result in a fascist government. Somehow. You think like once you could go back in time and go, Oh, Kim Jong-un actually paid attention in school when he was abroad and decided not to be a dick. And, you know, when he went back to North Korea and said, you know what, I'm bored of all this shit, you're having a democracy, cheerio! And then he went, I don't know, they went to Paris. And everyone loved him because he set up a democracy. And occasionally he had to come back and say, look. You do understand you have a second election in a democracy? Yeah. That mean... No! Okay. Now, Olya! Alright. I thought maybe you could figure out yourself, but anyway. I've had to find... I've got some people at the university I was going to. I've got them to write up a constitution. This will have to do for now. It's probably not ideal, but it'll have to do for now until you figure out how to write your own, you freaking idiots. All right, here we are. Elections every 4 years on a fixed date. Fixed date. If they can also be called if any time. It's very complicated. I'll just have it. I'm getting copies. Copies are being sent to everyone. I'm getting UN funding to do this. I mean, I'm getting so much funding. Maybe you can have a parallel universe. So that could be the change. But I guess that teaches kind of the lesson. Is that actually messing in time works. Although it's a weird lesson to... have people persist, because it's not a thing people have to learn. Because, as far as I know, no people don't regularly travel back in time. Admittedly, we wouldn't know, because the timeline we end up in would be the timeline we've always been in. Yeah, although I think probably, I guess if there's a lot of time travelers, we'd notice. Although maybe just some weird people in history are time travellers. Maybe Emperor Norton was a time traveller. Yeah, and he just, you know, rolled with it. Didn't make a big fuss. Just said, I'm the Emperor. And everyone rolled with it. Yeah, there you go. Alright, time to slide. Slide down the passage to the east. You sit down and carefully position yourself just beyond the edge of the landing at the top of the sliding passage, after exhaling sharply and preparing yourself for what likely proved to be a swift and perilous descent into the dark unknown. You push off and begin a rapid slide down the sloping, frost-covered corridor. You slide east along the downward sloping passage. Unable to control your momentum, you continue to slide faster and faster to the east down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass by in a grey and black blur. You continue to slide east along the downward sloping passage. Unable to control your momentum, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. You continue to slide faster and faster to the east down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass by in a grey and black blur. You continue to slide east along the downward sloping passage, unable to slow the weight of your rapid descent. You continue to slide faster and faster to the east down the frost-covered sloping passage, the glistening walls of the steep corridor pass in a grey and black blur. Suddenly, your eyes widen as a sharp bend in the passage looms out of the darkness below and to the east of you. As you hurtle towards the corner, unable to control the speed of your slide, you struggle to make a turn without striking the wall ahead. Alright, picking a number. Bonus of 49. 19 from agility, 20 from body, 10 from luck. Got to get 85 or more, or slam into the wall. Pick now. 132 is a success. You managed to navigate the bend without striping the wall. Maybe I just use a little bit of fucky parkour and I just jump in the wall, then spoing about, and then I go, and then Sir Croakington just continues on to the next section. Fucky parkour. Well, no, toady parkour. Let's not confuse frogs and toads. They're probably incredibly offended about that. With terrifying swiftness, you wound the corner and plunged southward, down another soaking length of frost-covered corridor. You slide south along the downward sloping passage. Unable to control your momentum, you continue to slide faster and faster to the south, along the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass by in a grey and black blur. Suddenly, your eyes widen as a sharp bend in the passage looms out the darkness below and to the south of you. As you hurtle towards the corner, unable to control the speed of your slide, you struggle to make the turn without striking the wall up ahead. Picking a number. Bonus of 49 from the same as before, but this time we only have to get a bonus of 65. I guess the corner isn't as sharp? Or maybe Sir Croaking has just got better at this now. Pick now. 109, success. You managed to navigate the bend without striking the wall. With terrifying swiftness, you wound the corner and plunge westward, down another sloping length of the frost-covered corridor. We are now going down the Oregon Trail of Ice. You slide west along the downward sloping passage, unable to slow the weight of your rapid descent. You continue to slide faster and faster to the west down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass by in a grey and black blur. While you have no way to estimate how far you slid, you know that you so far turned two corners, but how many will there be? I guess we'll see when we've turned them all. If I survive, of course. Well, Sir Croakington survives. The person who's reading this is going to be fine, no matter what. Because, you know, the fourth wall. It stops me from crying. It means that if I die in the game, I don't die in real life. Because, I don't think even the most hard of hardcore players would like that mode. Although maybe they would. You know, just to say, it's so hardcore! If you die in the game, you die in real life! I can just totally imagine someone making some sort of USB pluggy thing in that plugs into your game. And if you die in a game, it's programmed to work with various games, it gives you a fatal electrical shock. Although, I really don't know how the hell they could agree to get anyone to sell that. I guess it could be some sort of homemade thing, because I don't think even Walmart would be willing to put up with the legal consequences of someone buys your device, they play for 5 minutes, and then they die. In fact, everyone who buys this device dies. And because it's poorly made, most of them die actually before they even die in the game. Or you get a computer glitch and you die because of that. I mean, that'd be annoying. Yeah, oh, I could totally believe some people being, I'm such a true gamer, I am hardcore, hardcore, I die in game like I am real life, I've hired this big guy to shoot me. Yeah, oh, honestly, that'd be hecka, honestly, that'd be hella abusive to the big guy, because he's either going to be fired or traumatized. No good way, really. You have no way to estimate how far you slid. You know, so far you've slid, turned two corners. You continue to slide west along the downward sloping passage. Unable to slow the weight of your rapid descent, you continue to slide faster and faster to the west, down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the sleep corridor pass in a grey and black blur. Well, you have no way to estimate how far you've slid. You know you've so far turned to cool corner. Suddenly, your eyes widen as a sharp bend in the passage looms out of the darkness below and to the west of you. As you hurtle towards the corner, unable to control the speed of your slide, you struggle to make the turn without striking the wall ahead. All right, picking a number. Bonus of 49, and success is 75 this time. I guess it's slightly harder than the last one. Pick now. 63. Failure. You smash into the western wall at the bend in the sloping passage. I only take 3 damage. That's it? Honestly, I thought it would be a bit more than that. Because we're going so fast. Dazed and battered in the wake of the violent collision, you've little time to gather your bearings. Although I guess maybe it's because as a toad, gravity doesn't, as a toad or other small being, gravity doesn't have as much effect on Sir Croakington as it has on other things. You know, in the same way that when a cat falls out of the skyscraper really high up, it just goes, whoop, you know, parachutes out and just goes, Anyway. Do 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 do. Alright. How am I gonna get back up there? That's where my fancy feast is! That's where the fancy feast is! It's all the way up there! I'm just gonna meow until someone helps me. And that's what the cat does. Yeah, if you do live on a skyscraper, still close your windows, because the cat could get lost. And of course, the places with skyscrapers also have a lot of traffic, and that's way more deadly for a cat. Dazed and battered in the wake of the violent collision, you have little time to gather your bearings. With terrifying swiftness, you round the corner and plunge southward, down another sloping length of the frost-covered corridor. You slide along the downward sloping passage. Unable to stop yourself, you continue to slide faster and faster to the south, down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass in a grey and black blur. While you have no way to estimate how far you've slid, you know you so far turned 3 corners. Suddenly, your eyes widen as a sharp bend in the passage looms out of the darkness below and to the south of you as you hurtle towards the corner. Unable to control the speed of your slide, you struggle to make the turn without striking the wall ahead. Pick a number. Bonus of 49 and success is 65. I guess since we just kind of started again, because presumably when we slammed into the wall we must lost most of our momentum. So I guess we've slowed down a lot, so it's only 65. Pick now. 124 success. You managed to navigate the bend without striking the wall. Woo! With terrifying swiftness, you round the corner and plunge westward, down another sloping length of the frost-covered corridor. You slide west along this downward sloping passage. Unable to slow yourself, you continue to slide faster and faster to the west, down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass by in a grey and black blur. While you have no way to estimate how far you've slid, you know that you so far turned four corners. Suddenly, your eyes widen as a sharp bend in the passage looms out the darkness below and to the west of you. As you hurtle towards the corner, unable to control the speed of your slide, you struggle to make the turn without striking the wall ahead. Picking a number, bonus 49, success 65, pick now, 86, success. You manage to navigate the bend without striking the wall. Okay, next page, very please. With terrifying swiftness, you round the corner and plunge southward, down another sloping length of the frost-covered corridor. You slide south along the downward sloping passage. You know what? This would be a lot easier to go down if all the corridors weren't stuck at cardinal directions. But I get that. That's just how it is. Unable to stop yourself, you continue to slide faster and faster to the south, down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass by in a grey and black blur. While you have no way to estimate how far you've slid, you know that you've so far turned five corners. You continue to slide south along the downward sloping passage, unable to slow yourself, and not even really trying. Continue to slide faster and faster to the south, along the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass by in a grey and black blur. While you have no way to estimate how far you've slid, you know that you've so far turned five corners. Suddenly, your eyes widen as a sharp bend in the passage looms out of the darkness below and to the south of you. As you hurtle towards the corner, unable to control the speed of your slide, you struggle to make a turn without striking the wall ahead. Here the same check again. Bonus, 49. Success, 75. Pick now! 113, success. Don't even get close to the wall this time. You manage to navigate the bend without striking the wall. With terrifying swiftness, you round the corner and plunge eastward, down another sloping length of the frost-covered corridor. You slide east along the downward sloping passage. Unable to stop yourself, you continue to slide faster and faster to the east, down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass by in a grey and black blur. While you have no way to estimate how far you've slid, you know that you've so far turned six corners. You continue to slide east along the downward sloping passage, unable to stop yourself. You continue to slide faster and faster to the east down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the sleep corridor pass in a grey and black blur. While you have no way to estimate how far you've slid, you know so far turned six corners. What's next? Okay. It's the same message again. Okay, I'm gonna just press please continue now. Suddenly, your eyes widen as a sharp bend in the passage looms out of the darkness below and to the east of you. As you hurtle towards the corner, unable to control the speed of your slide, you struggle to make the turn without striking the wall ahead. Alright, random number, pick now. Now we've got to get 85, presumably we've sped up some more. 139, success. You'd have managed to navigate the bend without striking the wall. With terrifying swiftness, you round the corner and plunge northward, down another sloping length of the frost-covered corridor. You slide north along the downward sloping passage. Unable to stop yourself, you continue to slide faster and faster to the north, down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass in a grey and black blur. While you have no way to estimate how far you've slid, you know you've so far turn seven corners. You continue to slide north along the downward sloping passage, Unable to stop yourself, you continue to slide faster and faster to the north, down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass in a grey and black blur. Well, you have no way to estimate how far you've slid. You know you've so far turned 7 corners. Suddenly, your eyes widen as a sharp bend in the passage looms out of the darkness below and to the north of you as you hurtle towards the corner, unable to control the speed of your slide. You struggle to make the turn without striking the wall ahead. Picking a number, bonus of 49. 19 from agility, 20 from body, 10 from luck. Gotta get 75 or more. Yep, similar check as before. Peak now. 75. So he almost crashed into the wall. We hit it at an 89 degree angle. So we just didn't really crash. We just got away. Boop, boop. And then we started going along normally. You manage to navigate the bend without striking the wall. With terrifying swiftness, you round the corner and plunge westward down another sloping length of the frost-covered corridor. You slide west along the downward sloping passage. Unable to slow the weight of rapid descent, you continue to slide faster and faster to the west down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass by in grey and black blur. While you have no way to estimate how far you've slid, you know that you've so far turned 8 corners. You continue to slide west along the downward sloping passage. Unable to slow the weight of your rapid descent, you continue to slide faster and faster to the west down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass by in a grey and black blur. While you have no way to estimate how far you've slid, you know that you've so far turned 8 corners. Suddenly, your eyes widen as a sharp bend in the passage looms out of the darkness below and to the west of you. As you hurtle towards the corner, unable to control and speed your slide, you struggle to make the turn without striking the wall ahead, and it's the same check as last time. Pick now. 127. Success. You manage to navigate the bend without striking the wall. With terrifying swiftness, you turn the corner and plunge southward down another sloping length of the frost-covered corridor. You slide south along the downward sloping passage, unable to stop yourself. You continue to slide faster and faster to the south, down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass in a grey and black blur. We have no way to estimate how far you slid. You know you so far turned 9 corners. How many more are there? Suddenly, well, that was quick. Your eyes widen as a sharp bend in the passage looms out of the darkness below and to the south of you. As you hurtle towards the corner, unable to control the speed of your slide, you struggle to make the turn without striking the wall ahead. Picking a number, same bonus, success is 65. Perhaps I slowed down a bit at some point. Or maybe this is just a bigger, maybe the corridor's wider here. Maybe Sir Croaky just got better at it. Maybe the ice is less slippy here. Anyway, pick now. 107, success. You manage to navigate the bend without striking the wall. With terrifying swiftness, you round the corner and plunge westward down another sloping length of the west cross-covered corridor. You slide west along the downward sloping passage. Unable to control your momentum, you continue to slide faster and faster to the west down the frost-covered sloping passage. Whee! Whee! you're actually having a lot of fun doing this. Because that bit's kind of churned down when we cover it to the bards, because, yeah, it's not particularly heroic going, whee! You slide down the passage. Yeah, they the bards, they prefer to emphasize the danger, the peril. It's more exciting. And also, they don't like saying "wee" because they just get really embarrassed. So they skip over that. They skip over everyone. Skip over that bit. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass in a grey and black blur. Well, I have no way to estimate how far you slid. You know that you have so far turned 10 corners. Suddenly, your eyes widen as a sharp bend in the passage looms out of the darkness below and to the west of you. As you hurtle towards the corner, still saying "whee!" Unable to control the speed of your slide, you struggle to make the turn without striking the wall ahead. I don't know, maybe what I do is I just probably not Urbdil Zolka, that's rare. Probably something a bit tougher. Perhaps the Hammer of Icy Wrath, that's tough. Yeah, I slam into the ground and I use that as a pivot to quickly turn. Or something like that. Something like that, yeah. As you hurtle around the corner, I were to control the speed of your slide. You struggle to make the turn without striking the wall ahead. Picking a number. Bonus of 49. 19 from agility, 20 from body, 10 from luck. Or maybe I just summon a friendly air elemental to just blow me to the white passage. Yeah, okay. Using elementalism, well, I can't because we're doing a check now. But before, I summoned one in advance. Yeah, I summoned an air elemental in advance to help blow me onto the correct passage. That's totally what I did. Totally. Anyway, same check as before. Bonus 49, success 65, pick now. 94, success. You manage to navigate the bend without striking the wall. With terrifying swiftness, you round the corner and plunge southward, down another sloping length of the frost-covered corridor. You slide south along the downward sloping passage, unable to slow your momentum, not really trying that hard, you're having too much fun! You continue to slide faster and faster to the south down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass in a grey and black blur. While you have no way to estimate how far you've slid, you know that you so far turned 11 corners. And that's quite a lot. Suddenly, your eyes widen as a sharp bend in the passage looms out of the darkness below into the south of you. As you hurtle towards the corridor, unable to control the speed of your slide, and not that bothering that hard, you struggle to make the turn without striking the wall ahead. Picking a number. Bonus 49, success 65, pick now. 53. You smash into the southern wall at the bend in a sloping passage. One stamina point. I don't know if anyone has any sound effects for frog hitting a wall at 50 miles per hour. Because, I really hope they don't. But whatever that sounds like, yeah, imagine that. Probably. But only one stamina point. Maybe I instinctively cast a fortification spell on myself just before I hit. But. Oh, okay. Actually, yeah, that's. Did I do that? Yeah, I totally did that. And I'm just going to use that. No, well, I can't do that because apparently when you've got the check failure thing on the screen, that's just one of the things that blocks you from using powers. I mean, presumably it's so that you can't just heal yourself whenever, say, you have a series of checks that do damage to you. If you could heal after every single one without any break, then they couldn't really get you. I guess that's one reason they're in. Yeah, the same way you can't use skills and powers if the start combat screen is on the screen. You just can't. Because presumably once that happens, nope, it's too late. There's something charging at you. You don't have time to heal. I mean, you can heal in combat, but it's slightly less effective. And of course, things are going to be hitting you. Which sort of dulls the effect. Not completely. I mean, usually if you're pretty high level of healing, you can usually put out more healing than damage is put out in normal fights. Of course, if you're fighting something like, say, the man in the leather hat with his 100 damage specials, your healing ain't going to do a thing. Probably wouldn't really work against Ildredra with all her super damaging specials either. Anyway, one damage. Dazed and battered in the wake of the violent collision, you have little time to gather your bearings. With terrifying swiftness, you round the corner and plunge eastward down another sloping length of the frost-covered corridor. Unable to control your momentum, you continue to slide faster and faster to the east down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the keep corridor pass by in a grey and black blur. While you have no way to estimate how far you've slid, you know you've so far turned 12 corners.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app.
Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You continue to slide east along the downward sloping passage. Unable to slow the weight of your rapid descent, you continue to slide faster and faster to the east down the frost-covered sloping passage. The glistening walls of the steep corridor pass by in a grey and black blur. While you've no way to estimate how far you've slid, you know you so far turned 12 corners. Suddenly, as your eyes widen, as a sharp bend in the passage looms out the darkness below into the east of you. As you hurtle towards the corner, unable to control the speed of your slide, you struggle to make a turn without striking the wall ahead. Picking a number, bonus 49, success 75, pick now, 94, success. You manage to navigate the bend without striking the wall. With terrifying swiftness, you round the corner and plunge northward down another sloping length of the frost-covered corridor. You slide north along this downward sloping passage, and the glistening walls of the steep corridor pass in a grey and black blur. While you've no way to estimate how far you've slid, you know you've so far turned 13 corners, unlucky for some. Suddenly, your eyes widen as a sharp bend in your passage looms out the darkness below and to the north of you. As you hurtle towards the corner, Oh no, I'm going to hit it, I'm totally going to hit it. Unable to control the speed of your slide, you struggle to make the turn without striking the wall ahead. Picking a number, bonus 49, 19 from agility, 20 from body, 10 from luck. Got to get 75 or more, pick now, 124. Oh, well clear. You manage to navigate the bend without striking the wall. Suddenly, without warning, the sloping passage abruptly levels off. Oh, I was enjoying that. The slippy, slidey slide. Oh, well, I can always go. I can always go back to level 35 of Wackner's Mad and have another slippy slidey slide. Probably. I definitely have to look into that. Sending you tumbling forward along a rough, frostless stone floor, momentarily disorientated by the sudden end to your long and rapid descent. You quickly regain your bearings and stagger to your feet. And now, I do fall over a few times after doing that, but fortunately, Sir Crowington doesn't have very far to fall at all, so it doesn't really matter. And also, Sir Crowington is very, very bouncy, so falling really doesn't affect Sir Crowington at all. You're standing at the base of a sloping, frost-covered corridor down which you dangerously slid. The passage is far too steep and slippery to even consider climbing. Oh, well, now I want to consider it! I want to consider it so much! Even though there's no reason to do it. And if I did, Wackner would be like, send one of his glowy avatar things in and say, there's no reason for you to do this. Would you just try to get to the next floor already? Come on, I don't want you to die. I want you to get to the bottom of here and deal with that sentient shadow path that's causing chaos across a thousand different worlds. You okay? I know, the slide is fun. I mean, that's kind of why I put it in there. I mean, yeah, technically it's part of the dungeon, but really it's for me. I just wanted a big slide. So I made it part. But I really couldn't justify to myself doing all the resources to build a big slide, so I had to make it part of the dungeon. But really, it's for me. It's for me because I want a big slide. And I want cats, which is what I've gated in cats. It's a secret room. A secret room that only I can get it. It's just filled with stray cats of 127 different worlds. And all the most delicious cat food of 3,927 different worlds. So I just go every now and again. I just go there and go, hello, kitties. And then I pet you. And I pet you, and I could pet you. To the west, the now level corridor passes out of sight and into the gloom. Head west along the passage. Okay, we've just gone. I'm sort of vaguely near the northeast corner of this entire level. We've been twisting around a lot, so we really don't know the full shape. I mean, I think only the GM knows. Yeah, okay. I went northwest, now south. A rectangular iron plate is set into the wall here. The centre of this plate is a keyhole. I think we got a key recently. Was it that jade key? I think we got a jade key recently. I didn't put it in the recently used tab because I'm a stupid silly boy. Yeah, jade key. Yeah, I mean, it's the only key we've got recently, so use. This small key is carved out solid jade. Use. You insert the jade key into the keyhole and give it a twist. A loud hiss rises into the air as a dense cloud of green mist takes form and swiftly envelops you. Your stamina points have been fully restored. Didn't really need that. I took very little damage on the way down. As the mist dissipates, you remove the key and place it back in amongst your other belongings. As you glance back at the wall, you're surprised, but not that surprised, to discover the iron plate is no longer there. Now to make my way south one, and then east. Do 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 do. There might not be any orbs on this layer. That'd be an interesting change. Oh, we have a suddenly. The sound of something scraping along the passage just up ahead freezes you in mid-step. You quickly draw yourself into defensive stance as a large dark shape begins to emerge from the gloom at the edge of your light. A giant spider made entirely of hot solid stone. Oh, I hope you're not related to the giant spider I encountered on the 20th floor. Was it the 20th? No, wait, 21st. The 21st floor. I'm pretty sure it was the 21st floor. In which case, I'm very sorry about that. But, you know, not sorry enough to have not done it. Scurries into view. Much to your dismay, the fearsome arachnid, yet another of the labyrinth's strange and sinister denizens, is not like, oh, there's two of them now? Or more? Moving swiftly out of the gloom from both ends of the corridor is a large group of the identical creatures. Okay, now, is this ambush part of the original plan? Or is this an interference? I think it might be part of the original plan. I mean, Wackner's messed with giant stone spiders before. And he did just give us a full heal before that. Which was definitely planned in advance because we got a key. Yeah, it makes sense. Or of course he could have seen someone interfere in that and plonked and had that key do something. Do that when in fact your intention is for later on in the dungeon. Yeah, so, you know, it could go either way, but I'm leaning towards it being part of the original plan, but don't only a little bit. Moving swiftly out of the gloom from both ends of the corridor is a large group of the identical creatures. Realising immediately that flight is not an option, you quickly position yourself to face the impending onslaught. The first of the deadly stone arachnids scurries forward and attacks its giant stone spider, 1 of 9. Fortunately, it's a 3+ difficulty. Is it a 3+ to hit? So if I roll a 3 or higher on the 20-sided dice, I do damage to it. The giant stone spider scurries forward and attacks. And I spring forward and attack with Omdrell's Oaken Rod. Don't really need that for this, but whatever. 22 XP. The enchantment of metal and devastation helped out. The stone spider crumbles into a heap of rubble at your feet. You step forward and boldly meet the swift advance of the next stone spider being combat. Just going to fight it manually, looking for any specials. It is slain. 22 XP. Here's the third one. Scurries forward and attacks, as spiders do. The savage bite of your enemy tears into your flesh, and then I go into a battle rage. Gah! I was so excited about getting to the end of this dungeon, and then you blocked me! I got all excited for nothing! Slain your foe. Okay, we've seen this special. This is quick combat number 4. Quick combat number 5. Quick combat number 6. Quick combat number 7. Quick combat number 8. And 9. That was the last of them. 23 XP. That's just a bit random. Or maybe you get more experience because they're getting slightly tougher the deeper you go into the list, which seems to be a pretty common thing. I think this actually doesn't symbolise them getting stronger, but rather you getting more and more tired. Yeah, I think that's what it usually symbolises when you fight a chain of, say, 23 goblins, and each successive one has slightly more melee weighting. Because, I mean, how would they even do that? I mean, but would the goblins be like, okay, all of you, Okay, if you all calculated your melee weighting, you went to the, you remember when we broke in to the melee ladder in the Adventurous Collective so we could all calculate our melee weighting. Okay, you've got that all written down. Good. Okay, now all of you, order yourself by your melee weighting. And no, look at you. You just changed your equipment. Okay, now you gotta go. Now you gotta work it out all over again. Okay. Has everyone not changed their equipment since the last time we did this? Good. Okay, everyone go in order of your melee weighting. Lowest at front, highest at back. Okay, we've got a spread of about 20. Okay, the lowest, the person at the front attacks the hero first. And if they get slain, we go on to the second, then the third, and then the fourth, and so on. Until we kill the hero, or we all die. It's probably gonna be the latter. Because, I mean, dude, this is Sir Crokington. She is so impressive. But anyhow, if we die, we all get to go to Goblin Valhalla, where there's fighting and ale and shiny rocks and I don't know, whatever it is that we goblins like. It wasn't really clarified. 256 to general. I thought it was going to be 1024. Oh well. You momentarily relax your guard as your eyes scour the gloom-laden hall in both directions. The smashed remains of the stone spiders lie scattered all along the passage. Before you've had a chance to recover from the brutal onslaught, you find yourself confronted by another fearsome horde. Okay. Ah, that's why the XP is so low, because there's multiple hordes. Moving out of the gloom from both ends of the passage, clanking loudly as they steadily close in on you, is a large number of mechanical goblins, with no hope of escaping their attack, because, you know, I'm surrounded. Well, I mean, there probably is help, because Sir Crokington is very, very good at jumping. You swiftly, but no help of escaping their attack. But I mean, if you did, what could I do? All I could do is just go back to where the slope ends and then go back here and they'll still be there. So there's really no point in trying to escape their attack. Might as well deal with them here. Admittedly, if I did that, I could possibly get to a slightly better position to attack to fight them off from, but meh. Or more likely, I could bump into another horde of enemies that's probably being sent gated in this very instant, or something like that, or possibly being hidden from secret trap doors or something. You quickly resume your combat-ready stance and position yourself to face the sinister automatons one at a time. The first mechanical goblin, its metal plates clanking and its joints groaning, moves in and attacks. Fight this first one manually, it's just 8 of them this time. Mechanical goblin clatters forward and attacks, and it is slain with a quick combat. The rest of them 22 XP. With a loud groan and a series of echoing clanks, the mechanical goblin collapses onto the floor of the passage. Here's number 2. The next mechanical goblin, the sounds of its awkward movements echoing through the darkness, lurches forward and attacks. Quick combat. It is slain. 22 XP. Mechanical goblin 3 of 8. It is slain. 22 XP. 4 of 8. 22 XP. 5 of 8. 22 XP, 6 of 8, 22 XP, no, 23 XP, 7, 23 XP, and here's the last of them. Fight this one manually, savage blow for 7 damage, it is slain, 23 XP. With a loud groan and a series of echoing clanks, the mechanical goblin collapses onto the floor of the passage. 256 experience to general. You momentarily relax your guards as your eyes scour the gloom-laden hall in both directions. The mangled remains of mechanical goblins lie scattered throughout the passage. Before you've had a chance to recover from the brutal onslaught, you find yourself confronted by yet another fearsome horde. Floating out of the shadows on both your left and right is a large swarm of energy-encased spears, the crackling orbs. Each slightly larger than Sir Croakington's entire body, because Sir Croakington is smaller. Here it says no larger than your head, but that's a regular person's head. So obviously I had to relatively scale them up for Sir Croakington. Moving swiftly, forcing you to hurriedly adopt a battle-ready stance. With the heat from the encroaching spears becoming unbearable, you prepare to engage the orbs, one at a time. You bravely hold your ground and prepare to engage the first of the crackling energy spears. There's 12 of them. This is the first. Begin combat. I'll fight the first one manually. Sends an arc of lightning towards you. Masterful bash. Another 20 MR. Doesn't really help. It's already well into the 3+. And slain. 22 XP. The energy spear flares brilliantly, illuminating nearly the entire passage before suddenly vanishing, leaving its wake only a thin trail of grey smoke. The next energy spear surges towards you. Arcs of golden energy leap from the surface of the crackling orb. Here's number 2. Arc of lightning, arc of lightning, arc of lightning, arc of lightning. Slain. 22 XP. The energy spear flares brilliantly, illuminating nearly the entire passage before suddenly vanishing, leaving in its wake only a thin trail of grey smoke. Okay, here's number 3. I'm going through these quickly, but not quick combat. You are struck by a powerful energy attack for 16 damage. That's the special. Okay, I'm going to quick combat the rest of them. Another 22 XP. Just quick combating these. Double clicking on quick combat so I can go straight to the... How much XP you got screen? Alright, it's gone up to 23 XP because they each get slightly tougher. That's just how it works. Yeah, 24 XP, it's long, so increases more. 24 XP and 24 XP. 256 experience to general. You momentarily relax your guard as your eyes scan the gloom laden hall in both directions. The wisps of grey smoke, all that remains of the sinister energy spears, rise up and collect against the ceiling of the passage. Before you've even had a chance to recover from the brutal onslaught, you find yourself confronted by yet another fearsome horde, emerging from the darkness at both ends of the corridor. Moving swiftly into your pool of light is a large number of staggering Otoruk. The silent wooden iron beings swiftly close in, making it impossible for you to escape their onslaught. With your heart pounding, you hurriedly position yourself to face the fearsome guardians of the maze, one at a time. I'm just going to straight quick combat these. I mean, if you want to see what Otoruk are like when you first fight them, we've got to look for attack on Ashlyr. That's quite a way back. That was when you first encountered Otoruk, and I'm not quick combating them because it's the first time. Well, first time for Sir Croakington. Or maybe you'll scroll down further and find when Zoop fought them. That'll be the same. And 24 XP. Oh, the Otoruk is stunned. It's nearly dead, and then it's dead. Alright. Using a bit of quick healing because... As Otoruk are scaled and they do various things, they knock off a lot of your health. Number 8. Number 9. 23 XP now. Number 10. 24. 23. I guess there's a bit of variation. 24. Wait, since they scale. Oh, it's probably just. Who knows? 15. And then it's the last 15 of them. Without a sound, the O-truck collapses into a pile of splintered wood and twisted metal. Another 256 experience to general. So now we've got more than 1,000 experience for fighting the hordes of enemies. And that's a nice amount. Maybe I shouldn't have complained about not getting enough experience for fighting the hordes of enemies. Because the game was like, oh, you didn't get enough experience. Well, all right, we'll keep throwing hordes at you until we have enough. How about that? Hey, hey. Well, that's what you get for complaining. Of course, the game didn't do that because it's the same game it is all the time. It can't hear me. That'd be weird. The shattered, twisted remains of the slain O-truck lie scattered all along the corridor. Ah, and 2,048 experience to general. And 128 experience to all skills and power. Right. Now that's an XP drop. I mean, that's about almost as much experience as you could get for finishing an entire earlier game saga. And this was just for bashing foes for a few minutes. At last, with your face streaked with blood, sweat and grime, you allow yourself to drop to one knee as you struggle to catch your breath and recover from the series of brutal onslaughts. As you return to your feet and begin to look over the heaps of debris that choke this section of the corridor, the sound of someone calling your name from behind makes your blood run cold. Wait, who would know my name? Well, I guess Wagner would. Maybe it's just him. Inexplicably, the soft, clear, familiar voice fills you with a deep sense of dread. Wait, is it Narlislaw? Yeah, I kind of hope it's Narlislaw. Because, one, I want to meet her again. And two, if it's her, we're not going to get into a fight. And also, it can't be Wagner because his voice isn't soft and clear, even though it is familiar. I'm thinking Narlislaw. I guess I could just click please continue to find out. You turn to find Narlislaw. This is part of me working out and me remembering. Standing several yards away, waving. The hood that concealed her head during your first encounter is thrown back. The slender, angular face of a young woman. Her youthful visage framed by flowing auburn locks. Stares back at you through the gloom. Narlislaw stops waving and folds her arms across her chest as a wry smile takes form on her lips. It seems as if she's about to say something, when she suddenly spins her head to the right and draws a glowing iron wad. Alright, I guess that's part of a puzzle later on. A split second later, she vanishes. You wait, peering into the dark, hoping she will return. She does not. It looks like maybe she just accidentally triggered the communication thing. As you turn to move away from here, you wonder if perhaps you've just seen her for the last time. Oh, that would be sad. Okay, and what? There's something to the south and something to the south is an engraved circle sits at the edge of this section of the passage. A pair of tacker backs have been etched onto the floor in the centre of the circle. Step onto the engraved circle. A strange sensation washes you over you the instant you set foot inside the engraved circle. Your vision momentarily blurs, and when it clears, you realise you're not where you just were. You've been teleported. Okay, I just teleport to the top of the slope. This is also, if you want to have another go, sliding down there. And also, so if you go to this floor again, you can just skip the slope. Don't know why you do that. I mean, sliding is fun. In fact, since I'm already up here, let's do another slide. Slide down the passage. You know what? I'm going to pause it because this slide is just for Sir Croakington. It's not for you and it's not for me. So I'm not going to read it out. Alright, Sir Croakington just had a little slide down. Just for fun. That achieved nothing. There was no mechanical reason to do that at all. That was just for fun. And it was fun. Probably not as much for me, because I've got the whole fourth wall kind of blocking off all the fun. But Sir Croakington, lots of fun. I mean, yeah, she did crash into the wall a couple of times. But she's got so much health that doesn't even really matter. Okay. Alright, we've had enough fun on the happy, super happy fun slide. Now to unlock the next level. Yep, it's another one of those inverted pyramid formations. Place your hand in the impression. You place your hand, inverted pyramid of skulls that is. You place your hand in the hand-shaped impression just below the engraved skulls. Your hand begins to tremble inside the impression, and for a fleeting moment the entire slab shudders. You quickly withdraw your hand and step back from the slab. 384 experience to general. A bright flash of green light erupts from the centre of the stone slab, momentarily obscuring the gruesome engraving that adorns its rugged surface. You immediately realise the way down to the next level of Wackness Perilous Labyrinth has just been unlocked. Alright, we'll have a little peek at floor 36. Just a peek, okay, I'm in the southwest corner. I'm in a sideways T part. It's blocked off from the west of the dungeon by a question mark. And I'm in the north alcove. There's another question mark in the south alcove. That's probably the way down, but we won't find out for now. Because for now, we are going up to level 1. And we are going to make our way out of Wackner's Mad. And the thing is, I would bring more people to the super happy fun slide, but you need the Ring of Warding to get into here. And there's only one of them. Well, probably. Probably only one. I mean, there might be a second one somewhere, because apparently someone else is in this labyrinth. And there's no way they could get in there without a Ring of Warding or Ring of Greater Warding or something similar. But I definitely can't be going. There's no way I could get a second one, so I could, I don't know, invite. I don't know. Let Tallies have a little fun. Because honestly, it must be. He probably like. I mean, he likes adventure. Yeah. I mean, running that shop must be really stressful. I think having a bit of time on the super happy fun slide would be nice to him. Who else? Who else should I take on the super happy fun slide? All right, anyway, I've got to get out of here before I go on the super happy fun slide again. Oh, that was me. I'd got out of the labyrinth, but I went trying to get back in again. All right, anyway, to the town of Ashlyre, where I won't tell anyone about the super happy fun slide, because they'd all want to have a go on it, and they can't. So that would just be really, really a dick move on my part, to tell them about this super really awesome fun thing they can do, but they actually can't, and they will never be able to do. That's like telling people about this awesome, super happy, fun video game. But, oh yeah, it's only in Japanese. You can get something out of it, but you can't. I can't read Japanese. And, yes, I could learn, but I wouldn't get the nuances. And, of course, I wouldn't understand it real time, because every time I see a screen, it'd be like, okay, checking out the Japanese-English dictionary. Oh, no, wait, they're using an archaic dialect. None of these words are in this. Oh, quit it. I can't tell. I've got those symbols. I can't tell which ones it is. Yeah. I'll have to wait, you know, for professionals to do it. Anyhow, time to have a rest in the village of Ashlar and have night and then dream of the super happy fun slide. But until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.